Hello and welcome to another episode of the Messed Up Gardener. My name is Esther Aiken. I'm your host for today and I'm absolutely buzzed to be here. So with the weather changing over the last week or so, mostly regarding the temperatures, my partner has been desperately collecting the last of the honey harvest for the season, while of course leaving enough for the bees going into winter. And I know it's only mid-March and still a few months away from actually going into winter, but with the current work he is doing to the hives, it just leaves enough time for the girls to fill up any empty frame spaces with the last of the autumn honey flows. And at the same time, he's sorting out his hive gear. So anything that's rubbish gets either thrown away in a registered landfill or burnt. But anything that can be recycled is a massive win for me, as it normally means more planters for me. Just as a clarification, this time of year, as well as completing the last of the honey harvest, we actually normally start pushing the bees down into the bottom boxes of the hive so that they can build up their numbers, getting ready for their winter hibernation period undisturbed without us harassing them. The bees make, basically, they take a rest over winter, but that doesn't mean that the beekeepers do. So winter is a time for cleaning the equipment and painting the boxes that have been put away after the honey harvest has occurred. One of my favourite things about the cleanup is that often there are a number of hive boxes that are no longer suitable to use for the bees. And as such, they are scraped free of any wax residues before being retired. The reason all the wax has to be scraped off is to prevent the spread of diseases, especially American foul brood, otherwise known as AFB. Here in New Zealand, if the disease is identified, the hives, including the bees, are burnt and destroyed. So even if the boxes have no occurrence of AFB, you never know, it's just not worth taking risks. So we clean them up regardless. Unless, of course, they are that far gone, then the boxes are put in a big pile and burnt in the right season. Of course, at the moment, we're in a no-burn period because of the dry. But now here comes the fun part. So what to do with the hive boxes once they have been retired? So the theme of this episode, I've decided, is going to be based on ways to maximise your garden harvest using recycled materials. I'm going to firstly go through the reasons why I love these recycled full-depth honey boxes, and then I'm going to go quickly through a list that I've created around general methodologies and items that you can use in your garden that most people do actually have access to, because I realise not everybody has access to honey hive boxes. And saying that, there are a lot of industries out there that have similar type of materials that can be recycled into gardens safely or utilised in the garden safely. Firstly, let me explain to you what a hive box actually is. A hive box is normally wooden and untreated. They come in two sizes, what is called a full depth, that hold a full-sized frame that the bees build comb on and live on. Second size is a three-quarter. These are normally used as the honey boxes. In our bee business, we tend to stick to the full-depth boxes when in full operation. They can weigh around 30 to 40 kilos when filled with honey, and the three-quarter boxes, as the size suggests, are, of course, smaller, so much easier on the back when lifting. Now, as I see it, a business uses mostly the full depth boxes. They don't actually have bottoms and they don't actually have tops on them. They are literally four wooden sides, and I have found several uses for them. However, my favourite has to be my compost bins. I have a set of three boxes with an old hive lid. The bottom box I have filled with sticks and chunky vegetation to ensure I have a bottom that can still circulate air around it, so that whatever I do put in does not become anaerobic, which basically sours the soil, and the bioorganisms don't really thrive either in that kind of environment. The potential outcome then is obviously for a very sour acidic soil. So by putting a good layer of roughage at the bottom, sets up the next box where I actually put in the kitchen scraps, and only once the second box is full do I put the third box on. Once all three boxes are full, I leave it alone and let it do its thing. And as the scraps decay and settle down into the second box, I will remove the third box and use it to start the base of my next compost bin. So once the compost is finished, it's, you know, ready for the garden, it's really easy to take a hive box off and dig out, you know, the compost out to spread it out, you know, the lovely new compost into the garden. My next favourite use would have to be using them for potato growing. So my partner is an absolute expert at using these boxes to grow the most amazing potato crops. He starts off by setting the bottom box directly onto the soil in the vegetable garden and filling it up with really good quality potting mix or a really good topsoil. Then he's got, normally already in the garden, well, it depends where the soils come from, but normally he uses what's already in the garden with a good amount of aged compost. He then plants in the seed potatoes. As they start to sprout, another box is put on the original and more soil added, only just enough, however, to cover the new growth that starts to peep out as the potato plants start developing. Again, you keep repeating the soil addition until the third box has been filled and the vegetation is allowed to grow out. Excuse me. This then creates a fantastic harvest and obviously very easy to retrieve the resulting new potatoes. Once the vegetation has yellowed and died off, you simply remove the top hive box and harvest the potatoes while capturing the surrounding soil. This past season, we have literally had absolute kilos of new potatoes. As we finish harvesting, we select a number of good-sized potatoes that immediately get replanted to start the growth cycle up again. So far, we have never been without the potato staple in our family. Best part is because the bees have spent years in these boxes, they are fairly robust due to the waxy layer over the inside of the box, which repels the soil water, thus taking ages to rot away. The wooden hives are made from untreated wood and as a method of preservation. While the hive is in use for the bees, the boxes are painted on the outside with non-toxic paint, which actually makes for some very colourful honey potato planters. Then there are my terrace planters that I have used my retired bee boxes for. They are my herb planters where I've put three boxes on the bottom, filled them up with good soil, and then the next two on top slightly off center filled up, and then the top box in the middle also filled up with soil. The soil exposed areas are planted in with different types of herbs, and the box formation like this also makes a fabulous strawberry planter as well. Then there is the traditional planters when I line the bottom of the hive box with, say, weed matting and fill the box up with soil. The weed mat stops the weeds from growing through the bottom, but while still allowing the water to drain out, especially if you're placing the hive box planter straight over a lawn. Right now, I'm still harvesting my beefsteak tomatoes from the two honey planters that I got out the back. And once they've finished, I'll dig out the soil, and depending on how bad the wood has gotten, I'll replant with rejuvenated soil and my newly germinating seeds, vegetables for my autumn and winter crops. Our neighbour, that also works for my partner, they use the old hive lids as bases underneath their retired hive boxes so they can still shift the planters around if they need to. And I'll tell you what, the cucumbers, they are still producing, taste amazing. Okay, so I've kind of covered what I use them for with regards to planting, but you can also upscale their recycling in your garden and utilize them in other ways. So honeybee boxes are actually quite funky, and as long as they've been cleaned properly, you can place them on their sides and build them up as shelving. I have a number of them sitting at my front door with plants potted up, so basically my pot plants, and literally put them in as if they were, utilized. Well, the honey boxes look like they're windows. And I know of other beekeepers that have a wall of these inside their actual home where they've used them for bookshelving. Honestly, you can use them for almost anything. Some of the other uses I've seen with the recycled hive boxes is they've been used as letter boxes. These are literally where they've added a hive board bottom nailed to it. And then that's nailed to the bottom of the hive box. And then they've put a lid on the top with a set of hinges at one end to allow for it to be lifted. So the full depth box is a fantastic way for your parcels to be, collected by, when they're being delivered by the courier. And they do actually, come out as some really funky letter boxes, especially if you need the larger size box. If you polish up an old honeybee box and the box actually comes out really shiny because of all the beeswax that's been built up over the years. So when they're broken apart, they can be used to create other garden features such as garden wheelbarrows or other planters, even if they're a bit smaller. Then there's the garden tables and chairs. I've also seen the three-quarter boxes filled with hay decorated and then used as chicken nesting boxes, basically spicing up the chicken you know, the chicken house interior with a bit of extra colour, and again repurposing something that would otherwise be burnt or taken to a landfill. So enough about the honeybee box. Clearly I'm fascinated with them and I use them for almost everything I can. So I'm going to also have a look at some of the other effective ways to maximise garden harvest using recycling materials. Now, something I have had some comments about around using recycled materials in your garden is that it can look a bit messy and cheap or even cluttered. Again, it's all about how you choose to manage your garden. If you don't mind having a bit of a rustic look, a lot of the recycled material you can also hide too, and I'll go through some of that as I go through this list a little bit. So for the most basic form of recycling in your garden would obviously be composting, which is a great way of saving money, being environmentally friendly, and you don't necessarily need to have big compost bins to recycle your kitchen scraps. I think it was episode, 26, I recorded back in April 2023, where I went through mastering the art of worm farming. It feels like forever ago, considering it's almost a year, in fact. I gave some really good tips on how to manage scrap recycling using worm farms, even for decks and on, you know, for apartments. Check it out if you haven't already listened to that episode. So when composting, it doesn't just have to be kitchen scraps. You can also recycle shredded newspaper, etc. And of course, this next one, one of my favourites, I've mentioned it a few times over the years, and that is collecting rainwater. You can use large barrels, or as a really cool example of constructive recycling, a friend of mine uses one of her old recycling wheelie bins with the downpipe going straight into it. Then there is the classic egg carton seed starters, where you use empty cartons to start seeds before transplanting them into your garden. The cartons can be cut apart and planted directly into the soil. Now, just be very mindful of the seed size that you're using in an egg carton. I certainly wouldn't be germinating some of my beans, for example, in these, as they are simply not deep enough. You can also use them as mulch matting, and especially if you're using the actual trays rather than the cartons, the trays can overlap nicely. This is great if you've got small areas, or you can use them as a base around potted plants. The water will still, you know, soak through, but it keeps the weeds out, so a total win. Yeah, sure, it looks a bit eggy tray for a little while, but they do eventually rot down. Then if you are ever on social media, you would have seen people using this method of using plastic bottles as watering systems, where you pierce the bottom of the plastic bottles and bury them upside down near plants, or as they are, you fill them up with water to allow for slow and direct watering to the roots. There are also those that drill holes in the lids with a little material wick that slowly drips into the plant, which is great for hanging baskets, or if you're going away for a long weekend and you just need your plants to have that little bit of extra moisture. The beauty is once you finish with them, and obviously after a little bit of a cleanup, they can go straight back into the recycling bin. The next particular item for recycling in the garden is a, you know, no episode would be the same without me mentioning it, obviously, is mulch. So mulch where you use shredded newspaper, cardboard or straw is mulch to retain your moisture, suppress your weeds and enrich the soil as they decompose, which is another great way of recycling. Another craze to have hit the garden world for recycling, and I must admit I've used a number of these as well, and that is a pallet garden. This is where you transform old pallets into vertical gardens by adding soil and planting herbs or small vegetables. This maximizes space and allows for easy harvesting, especially here in New Zealand in industrial areas. You can normally pick up plenty of wooden pallets. You just have to be a little bit cautious as to the type of wood the pallet is. If you get the non-treated wood for your garden, which is obviously a better option, I have seen some incredible planters made out of pallets just picked up from the side of the road. Something quite funky I've come across not so long ago in a client's garden was they used trellis in the form of an old ladder, where they repurposed the old wooden ladder as a trellis for climbing plants like beans, peas or cucumbers, and it saved a heap of space and it also added a rustic charm to their garden. It was extremely well done. Now I use this next one not just in my garden, but I actually cut it up as well and use it as a little compost scrap collector in my kitchen. But in this case, I want to raise them as milk jug cloches. This is where you cut the bottoms of the plastic milk jugs and use them to protect seedlings from harsh weather conditions, allowing for earlier planting and extended growing seasons. Of course, it's not just milk bottles. There's also your fizzy drink bottles, water bottles, etc. We don't actually use a lot of those items as our staples, so I grabbed them from a friend of mine who's addicted to Coca-Cola, and she just lets me know when she's got a box ready to go, and I grab them and prep them for the garden. I find the soda bottles are better for my celeries. How I love the next recyclable item, and they are not as popular as they used to be, but a shoe organizer hung up is a herb garden. Hanging them in a, you know, using a vertical shoe organizer on a wall or fence as a plant garden where you plant your herbs directly into each pocket. This keeps your herbs organized. It does actually save space and it adds a bit of a decorative element to your garden. The only thing I found with utilizing such a planter is that you have to be careful what your backing is. For example, if your fence is built with non-treated timber, then the herb garden with the moisture it's created between the planter and the fence can rot the fence. So definitely worth keeping an eye out for them, and or an eye on any potential rots beginning at the back of these planters into your whatever it is you've planted, sitting it on. Then, of course, you can't go past the tin can planters. Yep, I have to go there, sorry. Clean and paint tin cans to use as planters for herbs or small flowers. Drill the holes in the bottom for drainage and hang them on a fence or railing for that, you know, something a bit little rustic look in your garden display. I've seen some incredible artwork on tin can planters, and they always do make for an incredible show. It pays to pop some stones at the bottom of them so that you can actually ensure some serious drainage if needed. You can also use tin cans as a root restrictor. With that, I mean if you want something to stay small, you can plant the plant directly into the tin, and then you plant the tin with the plant in it directly into the soil. So when planting in tin cans and growing roots, well, you know, when they're growing their roots, it won't force their way out of the tin can in a hurry. So this is great for bonsai, for example. Okay, now, no recycling conversation would be complete if I did not mention old tires as planters. This is where you basically grab and stack a chunky few lots of tires to create a tiered planter for flowers or vegetables. The tires provide ample space for planting and can be easily moved around the garden. I've seen some seriously tarted up tires as planters with big chunky rope looped around them or corrugated iron wraparounds, giving the tires a heap more character. Again, they do make great potato planters as well, just like my bee boxes. Same principle of managing your potatoes. And then there are the glass jar terrariums, where you can create mini terrariums in glass jars using small plants, mosses, and decorative stones. These self-contained ecosystems are easy to maintain and add a touch of greenery to your garden space. These are also great for indoors, and you can create them with your kids as well. Just obviously be mindful with the glass that if you do break it, you remove it straight out of your garden straight away and don't leave it lying around. And never put the glassware in full sun where it can act as a magnifying glass and start fires in your garden. So by incorporating these creative and eco-friendly methods into your garden routines, you can maximize your garden harvest while reducing waste and promoting sustainability. I'm hopeful that some of the suggestions I've raised in this episode will be of some assistance. I know recycling is always a bit of a hot topic, not necessary for everybody, and again, it depends on what look you're going for, but I'm not made of tons of money or money at all. So I can, you know, use whatever I can use, something that I would otherwise be throwing away, I'm a really big fan. If you do have any other recycling ideas that you use in your garden, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. If you do have any gardening questions, of course, please do reach out. I'm going to keep compiling a list every now and again. I'll do an episode on a bunch of the combined questions. Come to think of it, I've got a few there, so I might even do that next session. Each week, I mention this. Don't be shy. Let me know if you're needing some private coaching. I'm at what level, from beginner to experienced. Reach out and let's chat. I have a few one-on-one gardening mentoring spots available. Sometimes it really is easier to accomplish a task or project having a garden mentor and quietly holding you accountable to whatever tasks you set. Flick me a DM or email me and let's check to see how we can work together. My contact details are always in the show notes. Don't forget to email or DM me for any one of my gardening freebies. And as always, I say, gardening can happen in any space and in any place and on any budget. Have an incredibly abundant week and I'll buzz you later. Bye. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I would love to hear about your gardening adventures. Flick me a DM on Instagram at TheMessedUpGardener or send me an email and let's connect. Don't forget to check out my gardening reels on TikTok. If you are looking for some help planning your next garden project or just need some one-on-one private coaching, reach out and let's get growing. If you have a garden-related business or you're looking at starting a gardening business, including arboriculture, land clearing, firewood, or a general plant growing and selling business, let's work together in my one-on-one private business development coaching container. Having helped my clients grow several six-figure plus businesses, including from startup to working on million-dollar open space management contracts for many years now. Let me help you and let's grow your business so you can leapfrog your profits and establish a viable and sustainable business. If you're looking for a business podcast, check out my The Let's Biz You Up podcast, available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If this episode was at all helpful, please share with others and let's get growing in any space, in any place, and on any budget. Till next time, happy gardening and buzz you later.